Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number three, Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Hope your Fridays are off to a great start. It's a big day for me. I got to go to a concert after the show. It's the final Red Yarn show of the summer. I got to turn and burn and get over there in time.
So,
and then I'm going to a fifth grade graduation. It's a busy little Friday in the Johnson household.
Yeah, it's graduation weekend in our
house as
well.
Congratulations to all those graduating out there. Very excited to go support.
Yep. I had a he's like my nephew kind of, right? Mm. Like he's my in-law, he's my brother-in-law's brother's kid. I've known him forever.
Sure.
I saw him yesterday. I go, "You excited?"
What are we talking about? Graduation? Are we
high
talking
school?
Ooh, it's a big deal.
It's like, I gotta shake his hand. I go,
"Whose hand?"
Shake who's he's principal. I was like, "Okay." And he goes, "I hate that guy."
Kick him in the nuts. Go no. Viral. Somebody will film it. Be great.
Don't kick him in the nuts. It's going to be a crazy weekend because Saturday is graduation day and then Sunday is the grad party. So it's a whole weekend of festivities.
Everybody's tied up in it, man. You know what else is going on this weekend? Some of us are in super regionals around here.
I don't know
if you guys have ever been to that before.
Well, we've won three national championships.
I don't think you probably got to buy all the way to Omaha. No. Arkansas probably has never been there before. Oregon, though, we live and breathe super regionals year in and year out.
That's about it.
We said, you know,
you
it's going to be
like. It's
going to be a fun final weekend for us. At Colin One on Twitter, Colin Wilson is our guest now. Good friend, Action Network. He has got. You can go find it on his Twitter account. The super regional projections. It's his super regional cheat sheet. Colin, good morning to you. I do want to talk some college baseball with you because I'm very excited for the weekend. Let's start though with a hard-hitting question. Is Colin Wilson pro or anti roundabouts?
Well, first off, I'd like to appreciate you guys getting my blood pressure up by mentioning all the College World Series titles up there because as a Razorback fan that was actually in the stadium in 2018, it still tastes really bad in my mouth. So I live in Northwest Arkansas, and believe it or not, they've adopted roundabouts everywhere. There's got to be 20 of them around here, and I'm sorry not to bag on my home here. Mm. These people in this state can't figure this roundabout crap out. I mean, they just cannot get it. Now, I mean, I've traveled all over the world. The worst place for roundabouts where I'll say no is the UK because you have to drive on the left side of the road. You're sitting on the right side of the car, and the roundabout goes exactly the opposite.
Oh,
it goes
that's
clockwise
a good point.
Instead of counter. Yeah, so everywhere but the UK.
It's the it's a Big Ben Parliament moment from European Vacation. Hey, kids, Big Ben and Parliament. They just keep going around and around in a circle. Yeah, there's a lot too many people just don't understand how to do them. I don't know how we got on the debate, but that was our last segment.
Well, because I almost died yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was. Yeah, somebody almost
nailed Jeff. A cyber truck was just going. He swerved into my lane with his cyber truck, and he had to swerve out of it at a roundabout. And I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
This isn't that complicated. Just put a speed bump in. We'll be okay. Oregon is going to a super regional call. It's big news for us. It doesn't happen very often. I think the fourth one in program history. They've never been past that point. I'm just curious what you make of them. And as somebody who watches very little college baseball, I know that Texas is good. I know they're historically good. What do I need to know about the Longhorns going into this weekend's matchup?
They match Oregon's stats number for number and everything offensively and mostly everything from a pitching perspective, except they're a little bit better in the pitching department. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be the big problem. The bullpen from the two starters of Luke Harrison and then their big one, Dylan Volantis. That's the issue, is that they have FIP and XFIP and ERA numbers that are just a little bit lower and a little bit better than Oregon. And really what this comes down to is Oregon's got to win the Cal Sclari game, the first one that he comes out in. Now, I don't know if Texas is going to throw Luke Harrison or if they're going to throw their ace, Dylan Volantis. But whoever they throw, Oregon has to win the very first game out of the gate or they're going to have some problems, some real problems with his bullpen. And then the second starter that comes out of there, you see Texas minus 220. And really, I'm just kind of wondering, like, which pitcher? Because if they throw Luke Harrison, Texas throws Luke Harrison, the game should be minus 160. Mm-hmm. And if they throw Dylan Volantis, it should be Texas minus 350. So it's almost like oddsmakers split the difference because they don't know who's going to start. So Cal Solari's got to win this first game for the Ducks, or it's going to be a quick weekend.
I want to ask you about the Ducks, but I do also want to ask, like, the carnage we saw in the regional, the top two seeds falling, and I know there's been other years where it's been pretty remarkable, but for me as somebody that's, you know, I've been following since Oregon State kind of jumped into the fray a few years back, and I know you follow this stuff and you cover it really well, just where that ranked of craziest regionals you've seen in the college baseball postseason of that many teams in the top 10 falling and some of the teams that have advanced out of those regionals.
Well, I think the flips, not only is it a little bit crazy about what's happened, and me trying to remember back to if we've ever had a crazy weekend, what I can recollect is that the number of four seeds that are winning regionals year after year is growing exponentially. Like, there was a time when a four seed couldn't even dream about winning a regional, much less winning a super regional. Last year we've got who? Murray State hanging around, catching a win in Omaha, giving UCLA some problems, like covering run lines in Omaha. This is a thing where these four seeds, these St. John's of the world, the Little Rocks, they're just not scared. And the Little Rock coaches come out and said before, like, listen, we have a bunch of guys of power four arms that just couldn't get any playing time. Like, their coaches slotted them on Tuesday, Wednesday games. We went out and said, hey, you'll be a Friday night, Saturday night starter. And I think this is just a big thing. Is like, there's two things going on in college baseball that people need to realize. One, the Sun Belt's getting a lot better because there's a lot of funds being dumped into NIL and into their facilities and things of whatnot. And two, the transfer portal has evened the field out. If you think that there's a large gap in college football between the Big Ten and the SEC and, say, the American and Conference USA, that's true. But in college baseball, they are merging together quickly, and that's all because of the transfer portal.
Interesting stuff. Colin Wilson is our guest. Action Network. You can give him a follow on Twitter, @Colin_1, or excuse me, just Colin1 on Twitter. And he's got his super regional cheat sheet out that you can go look through and get some betting tips and some insight into some of the other matchups this weekend. Obviously, we got our eyes on Oregon, and you answered on the four seeds, which has been a fun storyline. What else is standing out to you now as we get one step closer to Omaha? What else do you have your eye on this weekend?
So I think the winner of Mississippi State, Georgia. Is the team that is should be odds on favorite to win the whole thing. It's easy to say that they're both pretty high up on the board, but Mississippi State is getting healthy in their rotation. Ryan McPherson was their ace, their Friday night starter. He came back about 2-3 weeks ago. He was on a pitch count. Now it's starting to get extended a little bit. He looks fantastic, and he's now their third starter. You're going to see Tomas Valencias go for them against Georgia. Mississippi State is growing leaps and bounds week by week. And I think it just hasn't been discussed because they lost so many SEC series, people kind of forgot about them, but there's a lot of injuries at play. And speaking of injuries in play, Alabama is another one of those teams where they've had their major stars in the lineup and major pitchers hurt most of the season. Now they're all coming back together. The problem with Alabama is that they give up too many hits and they don't play great defense. So I'm not going to go out and advocate that Alabama can win anything, because when your fielding percentage is like 250th in Division I and you're giving up a lot of contact, at some point you're going to get knocked out. That's just not sustainable to advance. But, you know, I think from an injury standpoint, Mississippi State is the team that is just as good as everybody else in this field and can absolutely win this whole thing. So don't sleep on Cowbell if they happen to make it through Georgia.
It wouldn't be a Colin Wilson interview segment if we didn't bring up college football. So I know we will be getting to that. But you mentioned the pitching for Texas. What does Oregon have that you like about their chances maybe to pull off the upset this weekend?
Oh, boy. I mean, I'm looking at their stat sheets right now, and I'm trying to find an advantage where Oregon has over Texas from all – I mean – Oregon's 164th in taking walks. That's not good. Texas is top 10 in taking walks. You know, I mean,
so
I'm
nothing.
Trying to find
it's okay to say
here.
Nothing, Colin. It's okay.
Well, I'll say this. Oregon is top 5 in the country in hits allowed per 9. So their staff is really good at avoiding contact and really good at not letting the ball get into play. And that's how they're going to have to beat this Texas lineup, is not let the ball get into play. And when you're top 5 in the nation, and by the way, this year I did something different. You guys noticed during March Madness, like, people were throwing together like a stew of analytics where it's like, if your offensive rebounding is this and your this is this and this is this, then right, you can make the Final Four. Well, I did this for college baseball, and I found out that, like, strikeout to walk ratio, strikeout per 9 ratio, hits allowed per 9, these are all traits of teams that make it to the championship round going back 15 years. And one of those is hits allowed per 9, and Oregon is 4th in the country. So if they've got something to stand on, they can keep the Texas bats from putting the ball in play, and that's how they beat them.
Mm. Interesting. I'm curious to ask you, when you look at, you know, college baseball at times can be a rough product to watch if you get guys who can't throw strikes out of the bullpen, right? Like Oregon won their regional game against Oregon. Oregon State just essentially walked like 10 straight guys and they scored 3 runs. It was like, okay, I guess we got the lead now. So that can happen from time to time. One of the things that I love most about the sport, though, that I think it makes it most appealing is the amount of S-talk in college baseball is inspiring, and I love it. And the pitchers who are, like, just doing crotch chops and flipping people off, the batters who are pimping home runs, what do you make of these umpires who are saying, let me be the star of the show? There was a kid in the Georgia regional who got tossed, who hit that bomb, and give him, like, a 2-1 lead or whatever it was, kind of making themselves the central character, because I tend to think that the personality and the flair of college baseball is what makes it as entertaining as it possibly could be.
Well, it's the fans too, right? Yes. Like, I mean, Texas fans are famous for drinking beer out of their shoes during the middle of games, right? I mean, it's everything. As far as, I mean, these are still college kids, even though they're paid. I mean, they're still college kids, and they're going to do things that you might only see out of the Dominican Republic team out of the World Baseball Classic, you know? Like, you don't see that in Major League Baseball. You don't see a lot of partying. You don't see a lot of showing up pitchers. As far as the umpires go, like, I think they know their time is limited. The SEC tournament, for those that don't know, the SEC tournament actually used the ABS system for balls and strikes, what MLB is doing. And, you know, a lot of the SEC coaches came out and said, if they're doing it as a trial run of the SEC tournament, that means all of college baseball is going to have this next year. So, you know, umpires are being minimized, and I think they know it. And, you know, they're I don't know how I feel about the ABS system. I think it's great that a true ball is called a ball and a true strike is called a strike. But to see dugouts just come unglued and call for challenges and challenge umpires, like, you only get one or two challenges. You don't want to make these umpires mad. So it's the theatrics of college sports will never end. That is the one ingredient that has been around generations before I ever hit this earth, is that college sports, there's way more passion. And I love that I'm from Arkansas and I come on the show to list a bunch of people from Oregon where we don't have pro sports,
right?
When you have college sports, it just feels so much more passionate than what you get in pro sports.
Yeah. And we've grown to love it a lot out here, obviously, in both baseball and football. Are you in favor of the 24-team playoff? Do you like the idea? I have the opinion of, like, I'm not a big fan of it, but I think it's going to happen. And I'm still going to watch all of the regular season games, and now these Pop-Tart Bowls are going to have some meaning because they'll be playoff games. Where are you at on it?
Yeah, I mean, anything that gets Arkansas closer to a playoff game, I guess, is good.
Amen,
right?
Brother. Yes.
Look. Do we need 24 teams to turn a national title? No. Did we need more than 4? No. I mean, we know. I mean, when you have point spreads that are 17 to 21 points in playoff games, and then these teams are playing at home, then you've got, first off, the discrepancy in talent of these blue blood teams versus everybody else that's making the playoff is just, this is not a sustainable model. And the thing is, the FCS has that 24-team playoff, and it's perfect. You play home games through all the rounds until you get to, what, the championship? Not even the semifinals are played on home turf. So I think we're moving towards that. They just can't figure out the money. I think the problem is the discrepancy on the field is just outrageous. Like Oregon playing JMU. I mean, JMU covered in a circus type game where we've got 70 something points. I mean, does anybody really think James Madison can win the national title? No. I mean, and what's Oregon risking? Like chances of getting hurt for the next round? Like the discrepancy in talent is so large. I'm not in favor from the fact that we don't need 24 teams to figure out a national title, but at the same time, the FCS model works perfectly. So I'm kind of back and forth on it, but we don't need more than 4 teams to figure out who's best in the country.
I tend to agree with you there. I'm curious, as you look ahead to college football, you know, our minds are always there, and you're always looking at stuff and lines and over-unders. Is there anything that's piquing your interest this time of year when you're looking at, I think we even have some week 0 and week 1 lines out on games. We talked about those on the show last week, and they came out looking at certain matchups and what the point spread might be. It's always hard early in the year. Anything piquing your interest from a college football aspect right now?
Well, I've already made a couple of large bets on Alabama under 8.5 and Alabama under 9. I think
under 9. Wow.
I know that's pretty. There's not a lot. That's not a favorable opinion. I would tell you that a lot of people are just like, "Are you crazy? When's the last time Alabama only won, you know, 8 games?" And my retort to that is they don't have a quarterback. They lost almost all of their defense. They have no running back. They have no running game whatsoever. If you can't establish the run and you're letting Keelon Russell get back there and he's never thrown a pass, I don't understand how Alabama is in trouble. The schedule is crazy. Yeah. Their NIL is lower than everybody else in the SEC. Well, not lower than Arkansas, but almost as low as everybody else in the top half of the SEC. So Alabama under was one of the first things that I hit out of the gate when they started posting up. I think the other thing, too, which is more specific, I did a little research on the Big Ten, you know, because I knew I was coming on to talk with you guys about it. But this layer at the top is just insane. And I think Oregon fans should go into this season feeling like they kind of got screwed. And I'll tell you why. Like, I've got Ohio State, Indiana, Penn State, and Oregon all finishing within 0.2 wins of each other from a conference perspective, right? I've got them between 8.2 and 8 wins in the conference. But the difference is Penn State plays the biggest cupcake schedule I've ever seen in my life. I didn't even know someone could even accumulate this schedule. Yeah. And I'm looking at Oregon, and we're like, you know, a touchdown dog or less against Ohio State on November 7th, and we're turning around and hosting Michigan, right? And then, I mean, there's the schedule for Oregon is not nearly as nice as Penn State, and they just did not, or the Ducks did not draw a good schedule whatsoever from the whoever it is in the Big Ten that makes this. But that's something to say. I think Penn State's going to be great, by the way. That is not a popular opinion because there's a lot of people that don't like Matt Campbell. But think about it logistically, or think about it like, what is the offense he likes to run? 12 and 13 personnel. He has always had multiple 6'7", 280-pound tight ends just blowing people away at the line of scrimmage and catching balls over the middle. Now he's going to a university that recruits the best tight ends in the nation. You give Matt Campbell the weapons that Penn State's been able to bring in at tight end, and you give him this soft schedule. I mean, I think Penn State's a real contender only because they don't play anybody this year.
Yeah. We love to get you on around this time of the year. One, because you help us with college baseball. Two, we get to talk all of this college football. And three, you're a band and solstice guy. I'm curious, are we doing the summer solstice band and round this year?
In 3 weeks. Yeah, I've got it set up. I'm actually going to hit shorties for the first time. I'm getting up to the age. Like, I don't want to disclose my age, but I thought it was really cool that I could walk 36 holes in a day, do a little Pacific Dunes, do a little Band of Dunes, take the trolley in between, then go have some steak dinner. And I'm just getting up to the age where it's like 36 holes with the slope ratings that Pacific has and all that. Like, I'm kind of like begging to go to Sheep, you know, because Sheep Ranch is just so easy and flat. Like,
much flatter.
It's wide open. Yeah. You can miss fairways all day and not suffer. So, yeah, the Bandon is my favorite place in the world.
All right.
I love it, man. That's going to be awesome.
I'm 39. Dirt, how old are you?
37.
Okay, Swag is 63 years old.
74, some
Come
people
on, Colin.
Say.
This is the trust tree.
If you guys have played there, these caddies are like, I mean, they're older than I am, and they're out there with their rubbing, their salts and their creams and they're carrying bags for like, you know, 15 hours a day, and I'm complaining, so I have nothing to talk about.
Well, how many pairs of socks, how many pairs of shoes are we taking?
Always two pairs of shoes, always at least two pairs of socks per day.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you got to lighten up your bag or else they'll make you take things out of it. So don't bring too many balls.
Yeah.
But you know, really the key to all of it is stay hydrated. Don't have your beers and your mixed drinks till afterwards. And then breakfast. Do not have a large breakfast because somewhere around hole 7, you're going to need to take a break somewhere in the bushes.
Well, and we may have asked you this before. What is your best round during the solstice playing that you've ever had?
Oh, my gosh. I shot, I think, one of the best of my life, about an 83 on trails during the solstice. And trails is, and I think the thing is, for everybody out there listening, when you think of Band of Dunes, you think of like coastal golf, like, right, I'm up against the wind, Pacific band and all that. But trails is so much like Arkansas because it's tree lined and I don't have to worry about the wind as much. It's more of target golf, you know, it sits within the tree line, and that is so much closer to home. and is by far my best course out there.
Talk about hills, though. Trails has got some serious.
It can
hills.
Get hilly, man. It's such a fun change of pace, dude. We're going to live vicariously through you. Exciting times ahead. Starting with Super Regionals, go give him a follow on Twitter, at Colin1, Action Network, and he's got his Super Regional cheat sheet that you can go find on his Twitter account. Just sent it out again about an hour ago if you want a little preview of all the action this weekend. Colin, man, we always appreciate the time. Love the hot takes in college football. Best of luck in the bets this weekend, and have fun out at Bandon, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. Talk to you soon.
There you go. Colin Wilson of the Action Network.
That bastard.
Bandon Solstice.
He does it every year.
It's high on the list of things I'd love to try. I don't know if I can make it four rounds in a day. I'd probably keel over, but I'd love to see how far I can make it before the wheels fall off.
I think I would do it. My foot would be hurting and I'd be exhausted by that last hole, but the $100 reward at the end, because if you get through all four rounds, you get $100.
Yep.
There's a whole Reddit page dedicated to this specifically.
It's one of the biggest events in American golf.
One guy says he spent $1,650. It's the whole trip. $1,650.
Yes.
Two nights, all food and drink included.
The rounds of golf.
Yeah. That's how much it costs.
And you get through it, they give you $100.
There you go.
Pretty damn cool, man. I want to react to, we will talk about the Super Regionals because Oregon's playing this weekend. Very excited about that.
It doesn't really sound like that.
Does not sound great, no. But hey, you know what we like to say? Nobody's giving us a chance.
How can I catch that game?
I don't think it's on the radio anywhere. Is it on the radio anywhere?
ESPNU.
That's right.
ESPN.
Wait.
No.
No.
ESPN News.
ESPN News.
Right?
No, I think it's on 910 ESPN Portland.
That's right.
That's it. There
oh,
it is.
That's right. We're the home of the Ducks.
We are the home. Did you know that? We're the home
totally
of the Ducks.
Totally forgot that.
910 ESPN Portland.
Totally forgot.
We will talk about that. We need to talk about his hot takes first, though. Let's cook with him.
Under nine?
Next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. We'll get to a quarterback's comments about his future with a franchise coming up at the top of the hour. Is there going to be somebody available this offseason? I'll explain. Who is it? And would you want him? What is his future? We'll talk about that at 9. We'll get back into the NBA Finals. Interesting narratives around the country about that series and some of the comments that have been made, especially by Spurs players. Castle saying, we know we're the better team. Wemby saying, I just got to play better and we'll win.
The Wemby one, I want to talk about some of the comments because I've seen a react. I heard
sparking
that
an interest. Everybody's like, talking about it now.
One of those is like a pretty normal, I wish my guy would say that thing. The other is a, okay,
All right.
Be careful what you wish for.
So we'll get back into that coming up in a bit. We will talk some Super Regionals as Oregon is down in Austin this weekend. Trying to go to their first College World Series. They've never been to one before, and they got a chance to do that this weekend in Texas. But it's some great stuff there from Colin Wilson. If you missed it from the Action Network, he's great because he follows college baseball, and we don't follow college baseball very closely, so it's nice to have somebody on who knows what the hell they're talking about.
Yes.
And then, of course, in very us fashion, the biggest takeaway from the interview for me was that he thinks Penn State has legitimately can win the Big Ten this year because of their schedule, and that Alabama is going to be under 8.5 and under 9 wins.
Yeah.
So, to his point on the schedule for both, I pulled them up, and he is not wrong in the least. So, Penn State, they're non-conference, which I guess doesn't matter in conference play, but you get my point. Marshall, Temple, Buffalo.
3-0.
Here is their conference schedule. You ready for this? And I'm assuming I know which game is the whiteout. I don't know if they've announced it yet. Wisconsin at home, at Northwestern, home against USC. I'm assuming that's the whiteout game. At Michigan, home against Purdue, at Washington, home against Minnesota, home against Rutgers, at Maryland.
So there are some good games in there for them to easily win.
Is Michigan good? We don't know.
Yeah.
Is USC
good?
Are they?
Do we know if they're good?
We don't know if they're good.
I don't know what to make of
Penn State.
What
does Washington look like when you go on the road later in the year?
Well, is Wisconsin going to finally take?
Is Wisconsin going to be relevant?
Is Northwestern going to be okay?
They could. Their new stadium's opening up this year.
Yeah, they're interesting. I don't know if I'd go as far as to say they're the same level tier as Oregon.
I think there's a vibe of them
point.
From this angle of Indiana from 2 years ago. Where Indiana, like, they shocked everybody with their win-loss record, but when you go back and look at that year...
Most of it's the schedule related.
Right, when they played Ohio State and Notre Dame, the game didn't go well for them, and they got killed in both those games. The best team they played in conference play all year outside of Ohio State was Michigan, who was 7-5 and couldn't throw a forward pass. And so Nebraska with Matt Rhule, like, they killed everybody. So I think that's probably the angle there. USC has to be your whiteout game. I don't know. They maybe have already announced that. It has to be USC when they come to town. The other side of it, though, is significantly more interesting because they just gave their head coach a 7-year contract extension. His name came up again in the offseason for rumors, Penn State being one of them,
yeah.
Michigan being one of them, and they said, you know what, we don't want to deal with this. Let's give our guy a 7-year contract extension. That's what Alabama did for Kalen DeBoer, and now we got Gambling Insider saying under 8.5. Their conference schedule is pretty brutal. I mean, you're Georgia at Tennessee, home against A&M, at LSU, and then you close up the season with Auburn, who I think will be a little bit better this year and has given them fits even when they're not very good.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama going 8-4 in year 3 under Kalen DeBoer would be shocking and terrifying if I'm an Alabama fan.
Hell no.
Because you're not the richest school in the world. I don't think you have the ability to buy out. I mean, I know they're psychotic down there, but they just gave him an extension, and the buyout is massive. Why would you give him an extension and fire him 1 year later? But
well,
I also
have to pay 90% of what they owe on the contract in that buyout.
It's a ton of money, dude. So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. The fan base will revolt if you don't fire him and if he goes 8-4, but can the school financially recover from firing him if you go? If that is to happen, that is a big time deal in college football.
Wake the hell up.
Yeah, well, I think the tough part is one, we are sitting in we're uncertain about Bama because we don't know about the quarterback position.
They got two young guys that are vying for the job, and we don't know who's going to win it.
And we also,
neither of us played.
We don't know how good they're going to be.
Nope.
I mean, maybe they're ready to go and they really believe in him down there. The fascinating thing he said there that he dropped as well with the underwins is it's the money.
Yeah, they're not. I mean, they're not flush with cash.
Arkansas makes me go, what? Because Calipari went to Arkansas. One, he was going to get fired at Kentucky eventually,
right.
But like also they're pretty loaded. They pay for all their basketball players.
It's funny. I think
schools different. But
he mentioned that too with the baseball thing and Sunbelt. It feels like schools are realizing there's places you should put your money
and
not put your money.
Shouldn't, yeah.
I mean, to be fair,
that's a good point.
It's the argument that you've made about Oregon State for a long time.
Yes.
Like, do you legitimately have a pathway to competing in football? Mm-hmm. Rosters are $40 million this year. What are they going to be next year? 50, say, like, how high are we going to go?
I was told they all agreed to $23 million.
Right.
Wasn't there an unofficial cap?
Having some rules would be nice. There are none of those right now. When we put rules in, we just file a lawsuit. But it's the idea of instead of spending $22 million, I don't know how much Oregon spends. It's not $22 million on their football roster,
sure.
But you get my point. Take all of that into college basketball.
Yeah.
And if you go 1-11, you're financially, it would suck because that's the biggest breadwinner of your university.
But making the NCAA tournament.
But to your point on Arkansas, like, I'm not saying Arkansas doesn't spend money in football. They do. I think they realize, like, we hired Calipari. We're great at baseball.
They were in a Final Four, right?
And their baseball program is in championship games in Omaha often. Like, that's where our money should go because those are the sports that we're really good at.
The Bama one, though, is just like, it's hilarious to me that we sit in a world where they're poor.
How the mighty have fallen.
Oh, the bag man's dead, and now you actually can't come up with the money. Used to be 50 grand in a lunch bag was
enough.
A
McDonald's bag will get the job done.
And now a kid's like, I don't know, man, Wisconsin just offered me $1.1
million.
Kids are coming out of high school now expecting NIL.
Yes, they are.
Hey, I got 9 offers. I'm going to go to this school because the NIL year one is $180,000.
More money than other people are offering me.
I think, personally, it's hilarious. I also don't know if I agree with it.
Mm.
I love the take.
Yeah.
I don't think I'd be shocked, but I've looked at their schedule and it's hard to pinpoint where win loss wise you would come to on game by game things.
Yes.
But if their quarterback play ends up being fine, go through the schedule.
So
if,
here
if
are
their
the,
quarterback play is good yeah. to fine, what do you think they would be?
Here's the games I have to give you as swing games, right? Because two of them they lost. Did they lose to South Carolina or did they come back and win that game? I can't remember. But they were on the ropes with South Carolina.
I believe they came back and beat South Carolina.
Okay. Well, they did lose to Florida State. So that's your, I mean,
yes, they did. The opening game.
So here are your quote-unquote swing games. Florida State at home, South Carolina at home. You get Georgia at home this year. On the road at Tennessee, A&M at home, LSU on the road, Auburn at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's not counting an early road trip to Kentucky, which I don't know if Stein's going to do it in year one.
I don't know year one for Kentucky.
But there's seven games right there that I would say are, you know, some much more winnable than others, but I would classify in the, oh, okay, that you could technically go either way there. You're not going to lose at home to East Carolina. You're not going to lose to Chattanooga.
Their South Carolina game, by the way, was 2 years ago.
Didn't they have a dogfight game with South Carolina last year?
I'm trying to ring it up.
I swear that they came and somebody made a big play late. Because South Carolina had one of those heartbreaking years last year.
Did you ever click the Google one they give you, the drop down?
Oh, it's the worst. I actually have their schedule right here, so I'll pull it up. They beat South Carolina 29-22.
Yes.
And they outscored them 15-7 in the fourth quarter.
Well, the year before that, they also
lost to them at home. They almost knocked them off. So of those seven games, again, like who the hell knows how good these teams are. Do you think they go 4-3 in those seven games? Because if you do, you're 9-3 and you hit the over.
Mm-hmm.
If you go 3-4 in those seven games, you hit the under, and that's where the bet hits.
Yeah.
And that's obviously saying, do you lose? Do you drop another one that we're not circling right now? Because as of this point last year, nobody would have said you're in trouble against 1-11 Florida State. Mm-hmm. And then Florida State knocked them out for the opening weekend of the season.
Well, but when they lost that game to Florida State, and remember, Florida State was playing Castellanos.
Yes, the Boston College transfer.
We were all like, hey, Florida State.
Florida State's lighting it up.
They're back.
Here we go.
And
no, they're not back.
They fell flat on their face after that.
No poo was eaten.
The Wisconsin game, the Georgia game was one of those, like, it was a rivalry. They got up for it. They got out early.
We know Kalen DeBoer's track record in games like that. He's very good.
Vanderbilt, they were struggling in that game for a while, and then they pulled away. The Missouri game, I thought they controlled, but they only ended up winning it by the field goal.
Yeah, Missouri had the ball with a chance to tie or take the lead, I think, on the last possession.
And then they lost again to Oklahoma. That one was at home and largely because of a pick six. So, you know, I don't know where I'm at on them. I really like him. I think he is one of the better minds in the sport.
Yeah.
I also will acknowledge he has a real untrustworthy vibe to him.
In
the coaching aspect.
Yes.
I think he wants to be a lifer at Bama. If he doesn't want to go to the NFL and he wants to stay in college, I think he is also a Dan Lanning because it's ala freaking Bama. But I just don't know what that's going to – what are they going to do if he does go 8-4 this year?
8-4, the sky's falling in Alabama.
But 90% of the contract will be owed. I actually thought Greg Byrne –
You can't fire him. You can't
financially. No, Greg Byrne basically – I think it was Greg Byrne. It was either him or somebody else with another questionable – they basically were like – yeah, we're not going to panic here. We're going to allow this person to truly build the culture, establish all of it.
Probably so, tired of his name coming up in openings every offseason still. Like, hey, we're Alabama. Enough of this nonsense.
To Colin Wilson's point, maybe that's more the crying poor thing. We don't really have the money to buy this out.
Yeah.
So give him the 7-year deal. Let's not overreact. Just because this guy's going on Feinbaum.
The honeymoon's over. That don't piss you off, dude.
Like, we just won't listen to the show that day. That's all you got to do. Not listen this day.
We ain't dead at all.
But the reaction. God, it's the reaction to Alabama losses.
We can't trust your ass now.
I personally will always root against Kalen DeBoer because of the heartbreak and pain that he has caused me.
Oh, I get it.
I agree with all your takes on him as a coach. We know how smart he is, X and O's wise. The biggest issue
but
that
he's untrustworthy, isn't he?
In games that don't seemingly matter, he is. That's been his biggest issue, and I brought this up a million times. When you go back and look at Washington's undefeated season, seven of those games were coin flip games. And they found a way to pull a wrap. And then when you get him into a big game, he was great, and his team was ready to play, and they would win. And then it's like, you can't score an offensive touchdown against Arizona State at home? How is that possible? Mm-hmm. How? You were one of the best teams in the country. So they just have always had that air to them where he does, for whatever reason, they at times don't get up for bigger games. South Carolina was terrible last year.
Yeah.
And they damn near lost that game. Missouri was fine, but let's not act like Missouri was a title contender.
Yep.
And they had the ball with a chance to win the game late. Florida State was dog ass.
We all thought they were going to
smoke them in Tallahassee.
Oklahoma, that payback. And he came out, and I noted, but he came out with the team, and he was like, punching the football, the pad on the field goal
post.
Like, that was kind of odd behavior by him. And then they came out and laid an absolute egg.
Yes, they did.
And barely scored any points.
Yes, they did. So it just, I'm here for the freak out if it happens. I will root for it to happen just from an entertainment standpoint. And you know what? Enough of Alabama. I have to deal with the Spurs being great again. It's like, you know, the same teams every year in some sports. Get Alabama taking a decade off from winning a title. I'm totally fine by that. But thanks to Colin Wilson for the hot takes on college football because it gives us a reason to talk about it. He's high on Penn State and down on Alabama this year for those wondering what they were. Let's get to just kind of a little bit of a weekend peekaboo. Some of the other things going on outside of the NBA finals. We will dive back into the NBA finals in the final hour of the show. And one quarterback might be on the move next offseason. Would you want him? We'll explain that coming up top of the hour, but a little weekend peekaboo next on The Fan. Got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Quarterback in the news for comments over a contract. We'll get to that top of the hour. NBA Finals Game 2 tonight. Looking forward to it. Should be fun. Game 1 was awesome. Can Game 2 deliver as well? Are we all going to...
Take your hands and put it down your pants, huh?
Watching Game 2 tonight, we'll find out. We'll get to that in the final hour of the radio program. What are we more excited for this weekend? Super Regional Baseball or Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final? Because it's a weird one where we get final NBA Final game tonight and then they don't play again until Monday.
Yeah.
So we'll be on the air just reacting to what happens tonight. There won't be...
We'll get a Friday reaction on Monday's show.
On Monday's show. Usually there's the Friday game and then the Sunday game, and it's like, well, this is weird. Do we talk about Friday's game or Sunday's game? Because they both matter. So we won't have that in this case. We'll just have one NBA Finals game, so it's only tonight.
Yeah.
Super Regionals or Stanley Cup Final?
I'm not even remotely a little interested in the Super Regional.
Doesn't matter. Really? No, not on your radar.
Brandon.
Blue Line Brandon.
I'm Blue Line Brandon right now, but also like
out through Saturday night.
If I'm a listener and I heard Colin Wilson talk about that Super Regional, it almost sounds like next to zero chance you win.
Yeah,
look, baseball can baseball. But
I mean, we have a lot of four seeds here. UCLA could not lose a game all season.
I know,
and they couldn't beat St. Mary's.
I asked him their advantage. He's like, yeah.
I think he's a little offended by my Arkansas jab there. Not a super regional this year, Colin.
I mean, you got to get to Omaha.
Baseball, blue blood.
Get to Omaha.
Blue blood if we go to Omaha?
No.
Not yet.
Is that how it works?
I think you got to win multiple titles.
Nah, basically one. It's all fine. I heard beating Texas makes you a blue blood.
Well, you're not wrong there.
Texas is a blue blood,
yeah,
right?
Texas, yeah.
Is Oregon State a blue blood?
Yes, they are.
That'd be back-to-back dubs over blue bloods.
Yeah.
Just put another feather in our cap.
Can't forget Mighty Yale. Ivy League blue blood.
Hey, we smoked Wazoo too.
Yes, you did.
Not really smoke.
Yeah,
it's
you
a close
did.
Game,
you
but we pulled away late.
Yeah.
You know, 3-run home run by Milwaukee.
Yeah. I don't know how this is a competition. Is it baseball close for you?
I mean, it's well, just
are you going to watch the full game?
If my team was not playing, I would not watch a second of college baseball this weekend.
You're Thank you.
Will I watch a second outside of my team? No, but will I watch the game? Yes.
Well, the other good thing is
I got nothing going on tomorrow night. I don't watch them both.
Three. And there is no hockey or NBA game on Sunday. So if the Ducks win game one,
they could eliminate Texas.
Sunday could be an elimination
Sunday
game.
Sunday night, 6 p.m.
Ooh.
There's nothing
Pucker
else
factor.
Going on.
As we win them both, we're not even going to a game three. Who needs Monday?
I think if the Ducks win, they're going to have to outslug them.
Now, I did see this. I
know Texas is a very good team.
I mean,
it's probably
be,
a tall task.
For them
and
to win, it's going to be
road.
Like 13-11 games.
I think this is a really good – I didn't really consider this. So I was reading a little blurb about that series, mm-hmm. Oregon and Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And a fun fact that I had totally forgotten is the in-state rule. Have you heard about this?
No.
So the in-state rule, if Oregon beats Texas, Oregon State gets 67.5% of credit making it to Omaha because without them winning, Oregon doesn't bring back their baseball team.
Yeah.
You so
went
Oregon
deep
State
into the Oregon statues.
Actually created the opportunity.
I think
for
Scott
you
Barnes
to
wrote
Omaha.
That.
Did we get two of the
Did
tree?
Scott Barnes write that?
No, it was written in 2009.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Did we get two of the three trophies since Pat Casey only stayed because of Phil Knight?
That's not true at all.
It's, you know, 100%
true. His kids loved Crescent Valley.
He was going to leave for a pay upgrade,
oh,
and then
what?
Phil Knight
Get
said,
out of here.
Let me pay for your pay upgrade,
nah.
But you guys want to boycott Nike.
Nah, no way.
You don't thank us for your two rings,
no.
Or two of the three rings.
Yeah.
I won't count the last one. You can have the last one. He was old, and that was the end of his career.
Wow.
First two, we
He's
take credit
old.
For those.
We don't count the old one?
We take credit for the first two. You're welcome for those SOBs.
Just note it, 67.5% credit.
There you go.
Look, in typical Oregon fashion, they'll probably have a 5-2 lead going into the eighth inning tonight and then walk seven straight guys and lose
the
game.
The first Super starts in about 15 minutes.
Why are there some on Friday and not others on
Friday?
So
it offsets it. So I believe all the teams that play the Friday through Sunday series, those winners will advance and play day one of the College World Series. And the other series that go Saturday through potentially Monday, if they need it, they will play day two of the College World Series. So
got it. Okay.
You don't have a situation where a team got two extra days of rest than another team
got
in
it.
The same quad
that makes
of
sense.
Yeah, so that
makes sense because you can't play everybody on the same
day. Yeah, they want to break it up so everybody generally has the same amount of rest to get their pitching staffs organized and travel and all that stuff.
We should still reseed, so we're hosting Troy right now, but I digress.
Cal Poly in West Virginia set to go in 10 minutes from Morgantown.
The scene in West Virginia when they won their regional, they came back, won in a walk-off, and they sang Country Roads in front of the whole stadium was really cool.
What would you say confidence meter of feeling you know where things are going to go in the Supers? The NBA Finals, Stanley Cup. If you could predict them, where's your most confident one and your least confident one?
I'm going to go, oh, God.
Like, you think you know who's going to win.
I don't know who's going to win any of them, so it's very challenging. The most confident prediction, though, I'll go Stanley Cup 1.
Really? That's got to be last for me.
NBA Finals 2. Super Regional 3.
You're least confident in predicting the Super Regional?
Baseball is stupid, and it makes no sense.
Okay.
St. John's is in a Super Regional.
Who's going to
Troy?
Isn't that good?
Is in a Super Regional.
Yeah. Who's going to win?
Little Rock is in a Super Regional.
Troy's facing Little Rock. One of those two teams is going to the World Series, which is cool.
Who is
going to
win the Stanley Cup? Confidence guy.
My highest confidence pick would be Carolina because of the way they won the game last night.
Still, huh?
Overcoming the deficit and getting their offense going. Their power play has been atrocious.
If McNabb's out,
they're down to four defensemen. They might not have McNabb the rest of the series because he broke his entire face last night.
Like,
so if that's the case, they were already only playing five defensemen to begin with. They only had four the rest of the game. I think that to me was such a massive momentum. You had a 2-goal lead with 9 minutes to go in the third period on the road. And you were that close to a 2-0 series lead, and Carolina came back and won it, and then won it in overtime.
And the fact that the top line on the power play got the goal.
Yes.
Because that's been the thing that's been
holding. Their power play's at like 12% in the playoffs.
I know.
They can't do anything.
Their top line has been struggling with Aho's.
How about the McDonough call on that, too, of saying they have a chance to totally redeem themselves?
Here, and I then, got it.
Yeah, play that.
Here's Svechnikov and Aho. These gentlemen would quiet all the critics wondering where they've been. If they score the game winner in overtime, Gostis Bear, they score! Seth Jarvis quiets the critics and ignites the crowd!
To have a moment of foreshadowing like that, you just
that
like, you're thanking your lucky stars there. Saying, can they quiet the critics? And then moments later, they scored the game winning goal.
Oh, I mean, he's
perfectly timed by McDonough.
He's one of the best in that sport.
Yes, he is. I would take him in all of them.
Well,
love
not
McDonough.
That he's the bad in other sports, but like when he's on a hockey game, he has, there's a little something, there's another level there.
A little oomph to the voice.
A little oomph. Okay, then who's going to win the finals? Confidence, man.
Number two in my confidence meter, I'm sticking with the Knicks. I picked the Knicks. I'm going to stick with the Knicks.
Okay.
Actually, I think I took the Spurs, but now I'm taking the Knicks. So I flip-flop. Give me the Knicks. Knicks in 7.
I can feel that confidence.
Yep.
And then in baseball?
Well, I told you I have no confidence in any of these, but you asked me to rank the meter.
I'm just giving you a hard time.
Oregon. Oregon's going to win. Of course they're going to win. Okay. Texas sucks.
All right.
Can't name a single player.
Well, let's not we can dive into the Oregon Duck roster.
Milwaukee. Okay. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it.
The guy batting 7th.
Hitting dangers. He's going to hit a danger tonight or tomorrow night when they play. That's all I know. Yeah, look, it's going to be a fun little weekend. I'm more excited for the Stanley Cup final because I will maintain the first two games are as good as you could, like, as good as we've ever seen in that series. Incredible hockey, an overtime game, a 5-4, you know, back and forth with a goal, deciding it in the final 3 minutes. Like, the first two games have been incredible. And so I think the series is going to continue that way. But I'm excited. You know, if Oregon wasn't in the Super Regionals, I wouldn't watch a second of it. But my team's in it, so I'm excited about that.
I'm excited to see if we contain screwworms so my beef prices don't absolutely jump out of the
Yeah, they're already pretty high, man. They're already pretty high and expensive.
Yeah.
Not an easy thing to do.
Yeah.
We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show, but we'll get back into the NBA Finals. Comments from Spurs is ruffling some feathers going into Game 2 tonight. Let's start, though, with a quarterback and a conversation about where's he going and is he going to play with the same team a year from now. I'll tell you who that is, play some audio for you. Get to that, start the final hour next on The Fam.